Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
The soul spirit. Everybody say the soul spirit. The soul spirit. The soul spirit. We are looking at the destiny of our nation. We are looking at the destiny of the church. We are looking at your destiny as a person. We are looking at the destiny of our region. We are looking at the destiny of Africa and the world in which we live. The soul spirit is a very great threat, because that spirit does not allow development. It is a spirit where people who are higher will never allow those who are lower to come up. The Saul spirit is the opposite of the Absalom spirit. The Absalom spirit is a younger person who is trying to unseat somebody on a seat above him. But the Saul spirit is the spirit of an elderly person, a senior man, senior woman, who has determined that nobody below them should rise. And in Africa, this is one of the number one killers. When you go into our families, you will see a senior brother who has determined that no junior brother will rise up. The thing is called a soul spirit. I'm telling you, it's a very dangerous spirit. That is the reason why we are where we are in Africa. So, with this kind of situation, it's very difficult for you to rise up. A young contractor cannot rise up. A young businessman cannot rise up. If you start anything and the thing is young, the older things will kill it. You start a ministry and the people that were there before you will attack it. For me, I believe in the callings and the elections of God. That when God calls somebody, even if the person is 2 weeks old, and God decides to use a person, you cannot stop it. Look at Solomon. God bypassed all the bigger brothers. God forgot about them. Went for Solomon. Look at David. Bigger brothers, they were all forgotten. And God chose a younger. But in our nation, our families, we have the souls who determine that nobody will rise up. They are just determined. And that soul spirit can be very vicious. In the Bible, we see a man called Saul. 1 Samuel 18. From the verse number 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go anymore to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdles. Now, Jonathan was ready for the next move. Young boy, he understood it. He understood that the way I look at this David, this man is ordinary, but he's a king. Take my bow, take my sword, take my girdle. Take my garments. I can see royalty all over you. I am the prince, but I can see that, look, you got it. Take it. Small boy could discern it. Very soon we'll see the big man's attitude. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over his men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servant. Everybody has accepted the man. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all their cities, all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. The thing is now about to change. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what more can he have but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Everybody say, Saul eyed David. Saul eyed David from that day forward and forward. Verse number 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Verse number 11. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Can I hear you shout an amen? Amen. All right, so this is King Saul and David. Very interesting story. This Saul man had everything. God bless Saul. I told you that most of the people who are envious, actually they are blessed by God. David himself, when he was comparing himself with Saul, he told Saul one day in the wilderness, he said, King Saul, I am just like a flea and I'm like a dead dog. I don't see why you should marshal all this army, 3,000 people, looking for a simple man like me to kill me. Looking for a simple man to kill me. But King Saul was a blessed man. I mean, that guy was blessed. If I describe him, you will be envious. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeruah, the son of Bekorath, the son of Afia, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. Everybody say, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul. Now look at the description of Saul. A choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. That was the way Saul was described. After the death of Saul, David took a lamentation or a tribute concerning Saul. And I want you to turn with me your Bible to 2 Samuel 1, 19 to 24. David, everybody say the psalmist. Now David is a psalmist and he's a writer or an author. The guy is a scribe. That man is a poet. Everybody say poet. The guy had many, many gifts. And when he's describing something, he knows exactly what to describe. Now, Jonathan and his father Saul are dead. And the man David is reciting a tribute concerning Saul and who really Saul was. Look at what he said about Saul. The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? Just the verse number one. Just this verse 19 is loaded. Number one, if you want the beauty of Israel, Saul and his sons, his three sons, who died with him on that day, Saul and all the mighty people and his servants, they constitute the beauty of Israel. They are dead and slain on the high places. And he said, how are the mighty falling? It means that God had made this man Saul a mighty man. Verse number 20. Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Let the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Let the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shields of the mighty are vilely cast away, and the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. That means that this man called Saul, God had actually anointed him. From the blood of the slain, and from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. That means the guy was a skillful marksman. When his son pulled the bow, it didn't return without results. And as for Saul himself, when he moved his sword, it didn't return without blood and without cutting too fat. Saul and Jonathan were lovely. Everybody say lovely. He was a lovely man, pleasant in their lives. And in their death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles and stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with scarlet and with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. So the man was a designer. The man was a stylist. The man was a benevolent person. He was a generous person. This is Saul, heavenly blessed. God gave him serious acceptance. Huh? The man was seriously accepted. One day he had an encounter with a man called Samuel. And Samuel spoke to him, 1 Samuel chapter 9 and the verse number 20 to 22. 1 Samuel 9, 20 to 22. Samuel is talking to Saul and he said, as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not your mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Everybody say, on whom is all the desire of Israel? He said, Saul, the whole of Israel, their desire is on you. Now my problem is, a man like this, why should you be insecure? Why should another person's gift, another person's anointing, another person's skill, another person's calling, why should the song of women intimidate you? David has killed his 10,000s, Saul has slain his thousands, but the desire and the delight of all of Israel is upon this one person. You are the desire of all Israel. So it doesn't matter what song they sing about anybody. You are the main deal. You are the real thing. It's just like maybe you are the mistress of a house. You are the mistress of a house and you've dressed, you've worn your boo-boo and you have starched the boo-boo very well. And you are walking about in the house as if you are ready to fly. Then while you are walking about, then your housemaid appears. And a visitor has just come to the house. 3 visitors. They appear in the house. The housemaid appears. And then the people are like, whoa, what a pretty girl. Pretty young lady. How are you? And you just came out with mama. And they didn't say, mama, what a beautiful woman. And mama is wearing her agbada, expecting compliment. And they just looked at the housemaid and they said, oh, what a beautiful girl. When they leave, the mama is like, mm-hmm. They want to take the glory from me. That is not the case. This lady has been only been described as pretty. But the main thing is you. You see, you don't have to be beautiful to be the madam. You are the madam. You are the main thing. The desire of all of Israel is on you. Look at this. Is it not on you and on all your father's house? Verse number 21. And Saul answered and said, he himself couldn't even believe it. Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? Why speaking like this to me? He himself couldn't believe what the prophet was saying he was. And Samuel took Saul and his servant, and brought them to the parlor. He took him, brought him to the palace, and made him sit in the chiefest place among them that were beaten, and there were about 30 persons. The man was not living in a single room. Single room doesn't have power. You know, but Prophet Samuel, the man had a palace that could take 30 men, and in the place they were sitting, there was a place where the chiefest of the people could sit. That means there was a high table. And they took the man Saul and even his servant, and they went and put them there. That is how blessed he was. And then Samuel now took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be captain over all his inheritance? Now look at me. Look at me. A man who receives such mercy, what should intimidate you again? What is the thing that should make you shake? Feel so insecure. You want to kill. You want to destroy. You want to pull everybody down. What should threaten you? You have everything. Respect, honor, anointing, favor. Your looks are good. From your shoulders and upward, nobody like you. Ideally, you should be so secure that nothing should shake you. Oh yeah, and they greeted everybody and they didn't greet me. Where you have reached, greeting should not be anything to you. Where you have reached in life, God has shown you too much mercy. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, I notice in life that the people God always shows mercy, they are the ones who deny other people mercy. Oh, God gave this man favor. God gave him honor. God blessed him. God gave him everything. This man suddenly, Saul changed. 1 Samuel 18:6. All of a sudden, this man whom God had blessed. Now everybody say, God had blessed. The danger about the Saul spirit is this. Number one, God has blessed him so much that you will not think he's envious of you. The man is driving a Nissan Patrol. How will you suspect that he's envious of your motorbike? Ahab and Jezebel. The whole of Israel is theirs. How is Naboth going to know that his small vineyard is making the man envious? Am I talking to somebody else? So you are likely to take it for granted. Your boss has got master's degree in the office. You are now doing private classes, long distance courses, not even short distance, long distance. Your boss is sitting on master's degree. Then you run to the master, boss, I have an admission to go to university long distance so that I can also get degree. After you've worked out, the man is calculating. 3 years time, she'll get a degree. Another 2 years, she'll get master's degree. I am older than her by about 7 years. That means by 7 years or 8 years, this person, now with a master's degree, they will remove me from this office and he will take over. So right from there, they start planning how to cripple you. Today, I'm praying a certain prayer that any scheme, any boss has put concerning your life to cripple you and make sure you don't rise up in life, may their traps be broken today. May their pits be covered. May their arrows turn back. You will be what God wants you to be, and nothing will stop you. Come on, clap your hands and scream it and praise God. Thank you. They will cripple you. They've returned. So, the thing about the soul spirit, let me continue it. Sir, he has everything. You have nothing. He's a king. As for you, the only thing you have is a prophecy. Saul was envious of prophecy. The only thing David had was a prophecy. Prophecy, 17-year-old boy. A king is pursuing him. So you are likely to make a mistake. I'm too young for him to be envious of me. I am nothing. How can me? But I'm telling you, the Saul spirit is a spirit of madness. It doesn't reason well. The other funny thing about the Saul spirit. Do you know that anytime when that demon came on Saul, it was David who came to play music for the demon to calm down. In fact, there was only one person who had the medicine for Saul's demon. And that was David. Still, he wanted to kill David. What he's saying is that, I will kill him. Let the demon kill me. Look, it's like a man who is trying to kill his own doctor. No, can you imagine you have a certain sickness and the only person with the treatment is your doctor. You are holding a knife, going into a room. They say, where are you going? You say, I'm going to kill my doctor. The only person who has the medicine for my sickness. Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. Envy is madness. This is the person who has the medicine to take care of your problem. You want to kill him. After you killed him, the demons will kill you. Because this is the only guy who has the medicine for your sickness. Another thing about the folly and the madness of this Saul spirit is that David was nothing until Saul made him who he was. It was Saul who gave him opportunity to come and play music for demons to cool down. It was Saul who gave him permission to fight against Goliath. It was Saul who gave him permission to come into his house. And when he came into the house, his servants and everybody got to know him. That means Saul manufactured David. And David was a product of Saul's leadership. My problem is, how are you going to destroy something you yourself created? You have a shop. A boy who used to work in your provision shop has opened a provision shop. People come to you and they tell you, that boy you trained, the boy is doing very well. They say, And they say, oh, his shop is booming. Yours is drumming, his own is booming. Then you have now gone to go and cripple this guy because you are saying that his business is doing well. But this person, you trained the person. Are you training people to fail? Are you training people so that one day when they are on their own, they will fail? That is another aspect of the madness. The Bible also said that when they brought David to Saul, he loved him. So the Saul spirit, the other thing about it is that you are trying to destroy something you yourself love. Listen, for every one of us, if there is somebody under you, whether ushering, singing, pastoring, family, business, your place of work, anybody who has somebody under you, you want to examine yourself very well. How are you treating that person under you? What are your wishes for that person under you? Let me ask you the big one. The big one is this. In case God decides to elevate that person under you, higher than you, will you be okay with it? In the Bible, I see only one person who had the right answer for that thing. And that person was John the Baptist. Who the people came to and they said that Jesus Christ, the man you baptized, is now baptizing more people than you are baptizing. And all the people are going to him. And John the Baptist said that, you know what? I told you I'm not the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom rejoices because of the bridegroom. That man must increase and I must decrease. So Jesus said, of all that are born of women, there is not a greater than John the Baptist. May God give you the spirit of John the Baptist. Come on, clap your hands and shout and praise God. Look at a man like Moses. They came and told him, they said, Moses, Medad and Eldad, they are in the camp and they are prophesying, though you did not lay your hands on them. He said, I would to God that all of God's people were prophets. Your job is that God has given you an assignment and he will give other people assignment. If you learn to concentrate on your assignment and let God do what God wants to do in other people's lives, destinies will be entrenched. Destinies will flourish. I pray in the name of Jesus that in all your life, you will never kill anything that is good. You will never throw anything that is good. May you never fight against the cause of God. All your life, anybody God wants to elevate, let God elevate the person. Anybody God wants to raise up, let God raise up the person, even if the person will be higher than you. Whatever you are doing in the world, somebody must continue it one day. And this is the trend. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former. Your spirit must decide it. And you know, what God is doing with you, let God do it. Enjoy your moment while it lasts. Be faithful with your moment while it lasts. Ensure that you are faithful with what you are doing so that when you stand before God, God will tell you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Stop blocking others. And then you see another manifestation of the Saul spirit is, new people have come. They are doing all the work. Sujimuduba. They should do it and we will see. We have done our part. Let them also do their part. So when this new pastor is preaching and everybody is clapping their hands, back, then you are sitting and saying, we have seen all this before. They are clapping today, tomorrow they will shout, crucify. Youthful exuberance. May you learn to rejoice in somebody's success. Come on, clap your hands and praise God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. King Saul never understood any of this. David has returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. The women were singing a song. I want you to tell somebody it is just a song. David has killed his 10,000. Did he really kill 10,000? He just killed Goliath. Verse 8. And Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him. A man who loved David so much, all of a sudden he has changed. The saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto him 10,000. And to me, they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? Verse 9. And Saul eyed David from that day. From that day he eyed him. And it came to pass, God's spirit left him, and the evil spirit came. David is standing in front of him playing, and the Bible said he wanted to kill him. Now, how do I deal with this Saul spirit in my place of work in the church? Now, let me tell you, the Saul spirit is very difficult to deal with. But there are four things I will show you. Number one, you have to act wisely. The Bible said, and David acted wisely. David conducted himself wisely. Everybody say, conduct yourself wisely. Yeah, conduct yourself. 1 Samuel 18, verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. And he behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people. And also in the sight of Saul's servants. He acted wisely. When you get overnight promotion, learn to give people all night greeting. They promoted you overnight. Start greeting everybody all night and all day. So all of a sudden you are there, and then they give you a certain position overnight. The people who were there before you, give them respect. Greet them. Good morning. When you see him after 10 minutes, good morning, sir. You see him after another 30 minutes, good morning, oh. Act wisely. Sometimes you even have to change the way you walk. When God starts blessing you, and you know there were seniors there before you, put spices and sugar in your tongue. So you know what? They call it conducting yourself what? Wisely. Conduct yourself what? Wisely. And you must always understand that all the people you are conversing with, and some are smiling, some of them are spies. May you live long. And may you prosper. So this man, number one, conducted himself wisely. Do you know that Saul even planted his own daughter on him? Michal, his daughter, so that she will be a snare to him. So the man now has a wife, but the wife is a snare. And still, David survived it. May the Lord give you wisdom to survive Saul. Come on, clap your hands and praise God. May God give you wisdom to survive Saul. Then, number two, the man became an expert in dodging javelins. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Verse number 11. And he cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. I will kill this man. He threw the javelin, and David dodged it twice. May you become an expert in dodging javelin. Some of the javelins, they take the form of false accusations, lies. They will lie for you. The Saul spirit, blackmail, lying, shooting of arrows, sometimes curses. You will not prosper. You will not succeed. You will die. All kinds of curses. And you must be an expert in dodging the arrows. For those of you that work in secular places, sometimes it's even blackmail. Queries for things you didn't do. Letters will go about you to the headquarters. Or you will travel. You were sick. You came. You begged your boss. I went and I got some stomach pain. And that's why I couldn't come on time. I've reported 2 days late. Your boss will tell you there is nothing. And before you realize, letters have gone to headquarters about you. May the Lord give you the grace and the skill to dodge every javelin and every arrow. Nehemiah was an expert in it. Shemaiah told him, he said, let's go into the temple and let's go and hide. Nehemiah said, a man like me will not run into temple and go and hide. Because he perceived that Sambalat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian had hired him against him. He He dodged the arrow. But look at the young prophet of Judah who went to Bethel, and God said, don't eat bread in Bethel. The old prophet deceived him and said, come and eat bread. While they were eating the bread, he said, the hand of God is against you. A lion will kill you on the road. The young man could not dodge the arrow. May God teach you to dodge arrows. I said, may God help you to dodge arrows. Clap your hands and praise God. May the Lord help you to dodge arrows. When they travel and buy a gift for you and they say, oh, this is a shoe for you, pray over it before you wear it. They invite you to a party and give you Coca-Cola. Be careful how you drink it. May God make you an expert in dodging arrows. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Means that sometimes you learn how to dodge the arrow so that it will not prosper. Come on, clap your hands and scream. So, in dealing with the soul spirit, number one, you have to be wise. Number two, you will have to learn how to dodge arrows. Number three, make sure that in all you are doing, don't touch Saul, because Saul is anointed of God. One day David made a mistake, and then he cut the robe of Saul. His heart smote him, and he said, I cannot touch the Lord's anointed and go blameless. God himself said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. So somebody who is your senior, it is not your job to go on a smear campaign to destroy him. Leave Saul. Saul will eventually destroy himself. Every Saul will eventually self-destruct. I wrote in this book, I said, Saul expended all his energy in pursuing David to kill him, and he forgot that his real enemies were the Philistines. He became an expert of hunting down David, and by the time he realized, the Philistines killed him because the man was distracted, and anybody who is distracted will eventually be destroyed. Your distraction will lead to your destruction. You are distracted. You are fighting the wrong enemy. Listen to me. Your enemies are not in the church. Your enemies are outside. Your enemy is somebody outside who wants to kill you. Your enemy is not that lady in the choir, that lady in the ushering department, that lady sitting in the church. You may have your disagreements, but that is not your enemy. Your real enemy is somewhere trying to kill you. And if you expend all your energy pursuing a David, the Philistines are going to kill you. The enemies we have on the outside are too many for us to spend our time fighting one another.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.